Miss Taylor Washington coming up in about 15 minutes. Nashville SC's newest left back over the past two games. An all-around good guy and a Warzone guy. You're going to want to hear his loadout for all the kids at home listening to this. For Warzone, and also he's just done a great job. And going to talk about the expectations internally for Nashville SC. They're pretty high for MLS Cup and for 2021. Gentlemen, Lucas Panzeca, Davey Shepherd along with me. I'm Will Bowling. How are we?
Doing good, buddy. It's glad to be back after missing a week last week. Lucas and Ben held down the fort.
Admirably.
And just glad to be here. Glad to be back. Two positive results to talk about, I think, all things considered. And a team that's in pretty good shape. Lucas, what about you, man?
Yeah, what a shift we've seen over these last couple of weeks. It really feels like something has clicked with this group, especially with that front three. I might push back, Will, on what you said about the worst team in Spro Sports not happening much in terms of it coming to Nashville. Jags are here all the time. The Houston Texans will be here this fall. The Titans play in the AFC South. There's an argument to be made there.
Over the last 2 years, the worst team in American professional sports, without a doubt.
Yes, until the Texans show up in Music City this fall, yes.
Congratulations to Nashville SC over the weekend. I don't know if you guys knew this. This is courtesy of Wes Bowling, a good friend of ours, a good friend of mine. He's my brother. Talking to earlier today. Nashville SC has surpassed FC Cincinnati in overall wins of all time. FC Cincinnati has been playing a year longer than Nashville SC. Well, actually, you could say a year and a half, because Nashville SC's first season was a half season, really. So congratulations. Let's start there, gentlemen. 3-0. Look, I wanted to see this team outclass an inferior opponent at home. It's exactly what they did. FC Cincinnati had some of the ball. First 15 minutes, you're thinking, oh, no, here we go again. Cincinnati had a lot of possession. They didn't do anything with that possession, but they had it. And then Nashville SC did what they do. They countered clinically. They finished high-danger opportunities. And they beat a bad team at home. Mission accomplished. Where has that been all year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was, we've said this so many times, the not must win. That felt like a must win, right? You couldn't drop points again to that team, a team that bad at home. We'd already dropped points to an awful Atlanta team, awful Miami team, 0-0 at home. Had to go ahead and grab all three there. And it was a really, really solid performance. Shout out CJ Sapong, a guy who I recently, Twitter, socials, I don't think I took shots at him, but I said, hey, look, I just don't really see what the real fuss is about results-wise on the field. The guy's undroppable right now. I mean, he's just insane form. I don't know that that form can keep up like over an extremely long period of time, but I think when you were Mike Jacobs and you signed CJ Sapong, you were hoping for a spell of play like this. And he's gotten his first one of those spells right now. I think second in goals for the team now, behind Hani Mukhtar. And a Randall Ayal reemergence as well the other night. What a finish he had. Just a really, really good performance. Hani Mukhtar is an elite playmaker right now in MLS, right? That's not a stretch, is it? He's an elite playmaker in MLS.
I think this front three is an elite front three. I'll take it a step further. I really do. The way this front three is playing, the way CJ Sapong, Randall Ayal, and Hani Mukhtar are playing, that's an undroppable front three. The way this team is currently formatted under Gary Smith with three at the back.
And just the space that those guys are allowed with the three in the back system, that's why I'm fascinated to see when Zimmerman and Johnston do come back. Although those guys have played in a three in the back system at the Gold Cup with the USA and Canada, the space that that front three gets with this system, I think, is the reason for the success. So that's why I'm kind of the most fascinated to see when those guys come back as far as the guys out for the Gold Cup. And you talk about the possession that Cincinnati had in large parts of that game, I feel like that might be Nashville's sweet spot. Forcing possession without purpose. That's exactly what they did on Saturday. Cincinnati never felt threatening except for the 1-2-on-1 where Washington ran back on Brenner and kind of cut off what really was probably a poor decision by Brenner, just a poor handling of that play overall.
Yeah, good call there. A lot of praise for Taylor Washington. We did it ourselves in the interview as a sit-down.
We did.
Which is very deserved because the get-back is absolutely insane. He did it 2 weeks in a row as right. Well. Had another one at midfield against Columbus in game week 14. That being said, Brenner did basically everything you can do wrong in that situation.
He really
did. So botched it there. Listen, you brought it up, Lucas, the 3-4-3. I thought Jamie Watson's answer today on the Twitter spaces. Was anybody else on that today? Andrew Wiebe's Twitter spaces. So Nashville SC in fourth in the power rankings over at MLS, which I think is pretty fair.
I think Ben had him at fifth.
Yeah. Ben had him at fifth, but MLS and ESPN both had him at fourth right now. And had Jamie Watson on to chat about that. If you are at home listening, that is an incredible resource. Andrew Wiebe on Twitter from MLS Extra Time, MLSsoccer.com, does a tremendous job with those Twitter spaces. They break down the top 10. And hey, if you're a Nashville SC fan, they've been in the top 10 pretty consistently lately. So check that out. They do podcast it out because he can kind of come in and say, Jamie comes on as a guest and says, listen, this team right now, they're sitting at fourth in power rankings, but they are third in goals scored. They're fifth in goals scored, third in goals conceded, fourth in the league in points per game. Like, this team is actually they're absurdly good right now. And so I just think it's a really, really good team that we're seeing right now. It's a really good front three. And we said it all year long. If these guys can score goals, they're going to be up there in the upper echelons of the league. We saw some leaky defense earlier and the goals weren't there. And now it just doesn't quite matter. You know what I mean, Will? Like, it's I feel like right. They can win games every other way.
So this is what I think is really interesting, which, first of all, 9 goals, 5 assists for the trio starting up top together of Hany Mukhtar, Randall Leal, and CJ Sapong. That is outstanding. That's a really good return for that front three right there. Here's
the
thing.
Scoring and assisting every goal Saturday was as evident as we've seen it was this past weekend.
Here's the thing that I think is really, really important to note about this team. Nashville SC's 8 total shots against Cincinnati tied their season low, tied with New York Red Bulls and Columbus Crew, and they had the ball for 34% of the match. But they scored on 3 of their 4 shots on target. Last season, this team created some chances. Early this season, this team created some chances. I think back to the draw against Miami. Team had some chances. They didn't score. This team is taking advantage of big opportunities.
And back to your point earlier, Lucas, you said 3-4-3. Jamie Watson brought that up on the Twitter spaces earlier, and his idea was, I think the personnel right now suits the 3-4-3 so well. But does a signing like Ake Loba eventually force you into 4-2-3-1 to get that extra attacker on the field? As good as Sapong has been, is that going to be a narrative over the course of the season? As good as the 3-4-3 is right now and as good as the personnel we currently have are playing in it, is it the ideal formation for the final version of this team come playoff time? Any thoughts there?
I think it's interesting because this team, the way it was playoff time last year, I mean, that's the kind of team that advances you far in the postseason. The team that doesn't take chances. The more iteration of Nashville SC that we saw at Columbus before the weekend's win over Cincinnati. Like, I almost think the team that drew Columbus on the road is more the team that Nashville is going to need moving forward into the postseason versus the one we saw beat Cincinnati. Plus, you're not going to play a Cincinnati in the postseason. Like, Cincinnati, yeah. A team of that caliber has no business playing in the postseason.
Well, through the first, 7 weeks of this season, or at least 7 games of this season, we were constantly talking about Nashville doing one thing really well and just needing that other thing to get over the hump. Early on, obviously, was finishing those chances as they're at or near the top of the league in XG consistently through those first few weeks. They're defending well, save for a few rough starts at the beginning of games, but they just need to finish those chances in front of goal. Then they kind of started doing that on a bit of a consistent basis, but it was uncharacteristic, silly mistakes leading to goals that led to draws and points where you really, or games where you got 1 point, you should have gotten 3 points, like both Atlanta United games. Now they're doing both. Now it's become balanced, and you've got Gary Smith in a situation where he's in as tough a spot as he's ever been, in my opinion, as the manager of Nashville Soccer Club, as far as the line to toe decisions to make. Formationally, in terms of personnel, he wants to get Ake Loba on the field. Does he change the formation that's been working to this level of success? Does he take off CJ Sapong, who's in red-hot scorching form? These are all great problems to have, but this also might be the biggest test Gary Smith has ever faced as Nashville SC's manager to be able to keep this momentum going with all those moving parts.
The other thing, too, is that, look, I mean, Yonder Cadiz can't get in this team. And Ake Loba has looked better and better every time he comes on. That's not a dude you're sitting on the bench for much longer. I mean, look, like you.
Well, I think as long as Sapong's in this form, he's sitting on the bench. Unless they change formation. That's what I'm saying.
You can't take Sapong off the field right now.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, you cannot. So unless you're going to change formation to get another attacker onto the field, Loba's sitting on the bench right now. Now, that being said, as good as he's been, Sapong is going to come back to earth.
I agree.
He's going to come back. And that doesn't mean he's going to be bad, and he might get super hot again at some point in time. But, I mean, this is a guy near the end of his career in MLS. It would be – I mean – I think he's would be on pace statistically for his best season ever if he kept this up.
CJ Sapong is what Yonder Cadiz was at the end of the season last year. Except you're not paying a designated player level rate for a super sub guy that can hold on to the ball and can put in a shift when you need a goal or when you are defending a lead. Right? That's what CJ Sapong is. Is at the end of this season, as the cream rises to the crop, and as I think you mix in other guys, you mix in your designated players, you got two of them sitting on the bench, CJ Sapong can play a lot of different roles. I don't know if it's in the best interest of Yonder Cadiz to be your super sub guy off the bench. CJ Sapong could be that guy in the playoffs if he has to be.
It's just about the synergy that he's found with Leal and Mukhtar.
Yeah.
He's been such a physical focal point for this attack. And like we've said, something's just clicked with those three, specifically those three. And I really don't think you can touch that right now until it starts to stray. And look, we've seen Loba twice, right? Two games last week. One was a scoreless draw where, you know, Nashville really it wants a point out of that game. I mean, they're time wasting at the end, even though it's 0-0 in stoppage time. And Loba kind of plays his role in that. And then you get put in a 3-0 game where Sapong scored two. He's coming off the bench. Don't have much of a chance to really make an impact as far as the result. So I think really what we're going to see is waiting for CJ Sapong, maybe not to drop off, but maybe a game is 1-1 or it's really in a deadlock late and Nashville is starting to hit a bit of a wall offensively. And then we see that like-for-like change with Loba and Sapong. But otherwise, guys, I don't see any wholesale changes, so to speak, whether it is just starting Loba one day randomly or a formation switch. I think Gary's one to do what's been working, and this has been working.
I think it's impressive how many options Nashville SC has generated in 2 years in the league. There are a lot of teams that have been playing Major League Soccer for a decade that would love to have as much depth that Nashville SC just all of a sudden has. I mean, we weren't really talking about this as much as we were a couple of weeks ago or a couple months ago. Like, this team has competitive depth that's good, that's proven to be good enough to win at a high level. We're going to talk with Taylor Washington coming up here in a couple of minutes. And look, this team, we talk a lot about expectations. I have not shied away from it. I've said from day one of this show this season, Nashville SC's goal for this year should be to host a playoff game. I say it almost every single week. I sound like a broken record, but I think it is a reasonable expectation. You're going to want to hear what Taylor Washington says this team's expectation is, because look, I think we know it at this point, as good as this team isn't shying away from competing with the top five teams in MLS. So that's the theme of the show today. We're going to talk with Taylor here in a couple of minutes, but this team has a blueprint and has a proof of concept to be one of the top five teams in Major League Soccer. And I think it's absolutely deserved where they are now. Now, that being said, we were having a very different conversation a couple weeks ago, the last time all three of us were here. That, look, we're concerned about the points they've dropped at home, the results that they've missed over the past couple of weeks. But when you go to Columbus and put in the shift that you did there, and you come back and you soundly beat a bad team at home with as many guys as they have missing, I don't think any of us expected that team to look as good as they did with as many backup options as they had on the field. Fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, Taylor Washington putting in the shift that he did, talking with him in a minute. I mean, that dude, this back line has not missed a beat plugging in for one of Nashville SC's more established veteran players than Dan Lovitz, who still has a place in this team.
Let's shout out another guy, Eric Miller, who absolutely got dogged for some performance.
Dylan Nealis as well.
Was hardly seen again. I think Eric Miller was one of the better players on the field the other day.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Rock solid as a right center back. And Jahlil Anibamba as well.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, we talk a lot about the depth and what Loba and Cadiz and having those two guys on the bench means. Jahlil Anibamba is a very quality third center back.
That was probably
Jack Mayer's a good quality center back. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. You can just keep rattling off these names. And these were concerns that we had with Zimmerman and Johnston. What's going to happen when those guys are out for the Gold Cup? This was a big focal point with me and Ben last week. All these depth problems that we had been talking about, depth concerns, which at the time I think were valid. You talk about that double pivot, Godoy and McCarty. What happens when one goes down or when one is off with his country like Godoy with Panama? What happens when Zimmerman's gone, when Johnston's gone? Those have almost all but been alleviated across
what
the board.
What happens is Brian Anunga plays out of his mind.
Plays as a ball-winning midfielder who is given that license to go forward much more so than we saw last year.
Surprise of the year.
Progressive with his passing. His vision has been good. And he tracks back and you know does all the things that we know he's able to do. And then just across the board on the back line, sort of this next man up mentality, to use a cliche, the Nashville SC has utilized without really skipping a beat defensively. Has, despite all the success of that front three, that might be the most important or most impressive part about this kind of run that they're on. As good as that front three have been and that cohesion that they have found is so critical, but when Nashville has done defensively with all the missing parts and all the moving parts and to be that seamless throughout it all, that's really a credit to Gary Smith.
When we come back, our conversation with Nashville SC left back Taylor Washington. This is something you're not going to want to miss. Really good stuff from Taylor about his friendship and feeling like a brother with Dan Lovitz, to playing in USL days, shouting out some staples. Kosuke Kimura gets a shout out in this interview. Fantastic. Bradley Bourgeois, another guy we talked to Taylor about. This is a guy that knows Nashville SC from its beginning to what it is now and has played really good soccer for this current MLS team, helping them to where they are in Major League Soccer. You won't want to miss this. Plus, USA and Jamaica setting up a semifinal against CONCACAF staples, Qatar, coming up later this week. I am bored watching this USA team. I'm going to go on my rant about this squad. All that and more on the Nashville Soccer Show on 104.5 The Zone. It is the Nashville Soccer Show on 104.5 The Zone. Davey Shepherd and Lucas Panzeca along with me, Will Bowling. Glad to have you with us tonight, wherever you may be listening around the Music City and beyond. Pleased to be joined tonight by Taylor Washington, left back extraordinaire. Two big starts for him over the last couple of matches for Nashville SC, and a pretty good chase down denial that we're going to talk about as well in the last match. Taylor, how are you tonight, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. I appreciate you joining us. Lots to get into. Want to talk about these last couple of matches. Want to talk about this team and the expectations that you guys have as a whole. But, Taylor, I guess we'll just start from a broad perspective. What's it been like getting in the starting 11 these past couple of matches and getting in a couple of really big games for this Nashville SC team?
Yeah, as you can see, you know, we're flying real high right now. So, you know, to be called upon in a scenario these past two games, first against Columbus, which, you know, for me, Columbus is such a good team. And, you know, to get my first start of the year against them, I knew that, you know, I had to come in with guns blazing, do everything that I could to continue to help this team fly high. But, you know, I'm just so proud of the way that the boys, like, it's hard for me to talk about myself. It's like the way that we've been playing. I mean, you look at the way Randall, CJ, Hani have been this past month. It's incredible. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, the way that they're sort of connecting, the way that they're able to move off of each other. They're so instinctual. It's like becoming second nature. We were doing some passing patterns in training today. And it's just to see these guys come from where they were in preseason to now. It's just, I can't wait for this continued success. Yeah, it's crazy.
So take us through the mindset and the preparation for knowing you might have an opportunity off the bench. You might, you know, whether it's, you know, you kind of fit into an interesting role as a guy who you can be a defensive sub. You can be an offensive sub to bring crosses in late in a game when this team needs a goal. Take us through the differences in mentality to when you're coming into a match or you're coming to Nissan Stadium knowing you might have to provide minutes off the bench
to then knowing that you're in the starting 11 and the shift that you've got to put in, knowing that you're going to get the start for minute number one?
Yeah, it's funny. For me, it's almost not really a different mentality. I think just the amount of food I eat in a day. but, you know, I think I always talk about our training schedule and, you know, how good of a job Gary does, how good of a job, you know, Brett and Guppy do. You know, I think if you were to call upon any guy, even guys who have not played a minute this year, you know, they would give everything that they have and be ready in the moment. And I think that's just the way we train, you know, like at any moment, anyone can go down and the next guy right behind him is going to be ready to fulfill the job and do an exemplary job. So the mentality is always the same. Yeah. For me, it's always just go enjoy yourself, go help the team win and do what you can and try and make Guppy happy with as many crosses as I can as well.
Well, on that note, Taylor, I know you say you don't like to talk about yourself, but I'm going to make you talk about yourself for just a quick second here. John Freeman, our buddy, who we all know, the radio yeah. voice of Nashville Soccer Club, puts this out over the weekend. In-game top speeds for this season with you guys and last season with the Titans.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, 21.62 miles per hour.
Uh-huh.
Taylor Washington, 22.9 miles per hour. Mm. So I'm sitting here looking at a picture of you and Derrick Henry, and it's like, similar. You know, in The Office, yeah. when Pam gives Creed the corporate exercise to spot the difference in the pictures, it's the same picture. In all seriousness, man, your pace, as evident in that 32nd minute chase down, at that point, it's a 1-0 game. It's a really important stop for a talented player like Brenner. It's a big reason why you've remained a part of this team, right? Consistently in the team sheet, whether you're starting or on the bench. How much do you continue to work on that? And how key has that part of your game been just in being able to stay at this level of soccer?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's funny. I think even in that play, like I was talking to some buddies and I was like, yeah, I probably didn't reach top speed. You know, it's like, and I have seen John's tweet because I sent him a picture of one of the replies from one of the people. And it's like, how can you compare this stick man to Derrick Henry? You know? And I'm like, hey, man, I am no stick man. All right? I've worked hard. I went vegan for this 174-pound frame. But, you know, I'll allude to Gary in training and especially Dan Lovitz as well. You know, like my relationship with Dan is incredible. You know, whether it's doing a crossing drill, working on things after training, hanging out off the field, you know, he does a great job of being able to be like an older brother, and someone who can, you know, coach and look at little nuances of the game. Because if you look at the way I was used a lot last year, I was coming on at left mid, I would be playing, you know, up the field in front of him. So, you know, his voice was always in my ear, always telling me, Taylor, right, Taylor, this. We talk about it after games. So, you know, when I have to step into the role and do certain things, you know, I have a U.S. men's national team level left back giving me insights and heads up. So it's the people around me are exemplary.
So I wasn't planning to start with this, but I feel like I can't pass up on it. You said you've gone vegan. Is that like a theme in the locker room? Have you got like a vegan crew there of guys who I know like a few years ago, there was a ton of Titans who went that way. I think it
yes.
was Delaney or somebody's wife, right?
Uh-huh.
Like
yes.
has taken a lot of that crew that direction. So is that what's happening at NSC?
I don't know if a lot of people are. Okay. I would say I know Castellanos, Robert has switched to being vegan about a month ago. Is there any word of anybody else going vegan? I haven't heard.
No, I that's the first breeze I had heard of it at all. So yeah. I figured I wanted to, you know, we like to scoop some
breaking news
Nashville soccer show.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, hey, you do. I'll tell you this. I went vegan about, I think, a year and a half ago, right before we went MLS. I watched that documentary on Netflix, which involved the Titans. And I was like, you know what, I might as well give this a try. And so I asked Kosuke Kimura. And if you know anything about our USL days, Kosuke was coach, player, health advisor, father. And he said to me, he looked at me and says, I've been doing this for months. You don't even know if you're ready to do this. And I was like, all right, Kosuke. I was like, I took it as a challenge. And, you know, a year and a half later, still doing it. Love it. Love tofu. Just ordered some sesame tofu, actually, before my nice little nap.
There's some great vegan spots in town. That Sunflower Bakehouse in Donelson is like out of control good. And Braze, I think, is the other one in the east side that's like great too. I am not vegan, everything. But there are a few really good ones that I try to make it to every now and then.
Graze is fire, Wild Cow. Matt LaGrassa moved to East Nashville about 2 months ago and has not stopped talking about East Nashville. So I've ventured forth into over there, you know, to grab some food over there. And they have some delightful vegan spots.
I think that's part of the requirements, actually, real quick, about moving to East Nashville is that you have to remind everyone that you've moved.
Yeah, your application.
Yeah, place hearts, you know, like Australian owner with coffee. You know,
like, I think you are now you are a Nashville native just by that statement alone, Taylor. So congratulations. Exactly right.
Thank you.
So, Taylor, you were, for any of our new listeners out there, you were the first ever guest from the club on Speedway Soccer a few years ago, our old podcast that became this radio show. And one of the things I took away from that interview was kind of like it was almost 4 years ago now, I think we all sat down, and you just had this level of self-belief that was kind of like you show up, you put the work in, and good things are going to happen, like a positive attitude going into it. And kind of what I want to ask is that's clearly paid off for you over the last 4 years. But the other thing you've had that time is the same coach. You've had Gary Smith all 4 of those years. What have you learned from Gary over that time? I mean, he's clearly a guy who likes structure, likes it to be pretty rigorous on the field, which favors defenders like yourself. Mm-hmm. What have you grabbed the most from him over the last 4 years?
I think besides being able to do his accent really well. I think one of the things when I came to Nashville was I was coming from Pittsburgh, a place where the coach Dave Brand did a great job of getting guys he really liked in college. And the environment and the atmosphere was very college-like almost. We were extremely tight off the field. The results on the field weren't going necessarily our way, but it didn't really affect us too much. And the minute that I came here, I remember I met Gary at Ensworth, and I remember just feeling the sense of belief that he had in not just doing the right things, but doing them in the right way, making sure that we're doing things to get results, that nothing we do is just to simply do it. And playing under him for the last 4 years has taught me you have to be reliable, you have to be usable, and you have to be coachable, and you have to fit into different roles. If you look at how many positions I've played here at Nashville, I think I played the 10.
Everything but center forward, I think.
I didn't play the 10 up in Ottawa. I always make this joke. I always tell Hani when he first came, I said, you know, Hani, I was like, I played the 10 for 10 minutes. You know, I don't think he really comprehended it, but I think that's the beauty of our club is that we have so many guys who are able to be so good at different positions, and he's taught me this level of just coming in, doing the hard work, like you said. Like you asked me about my mentality, it's like it's sort of been ingrained into me from him, from Guppy, from Brett, from my teammates. It's, you know, we come to show up every day, we bring our lunch pails, and we get to work, you know. And for us at Nashville SC, it's not a crazy concept that we're in second place right now.
And you have a luxury that's kind of rare in this league, as Taylor Washington, Nashville Soccer Club defender, joins us on 104.5 The Zone, in that you had the same coach there to help you with that adjustment when you made the move from USL to MLS. Both you and Daniel Rios, of course, guys like Brian Anunga that spent a lot of time in that league. What's one thing this season that you feel you're able to deal with a lot better than maybe last year when you're getting adjusted to a higher level of soccer in the U.S.?
That's a great question. It was tough because, you know, we had preseason last year. We started off preseason and then COVID hit, you know. So, this year I think everything, you know, whether it's travel, whether it's a more structured out season. I think for me, that's probably the biggest thing. You know, what last year at this time, what were we down in Orlando, I would assume, I think around this time. Mm-hmm. We were trying to crunch however many games into the remaining months of the year while also trying to fit playoffs in. Being able to do a regular season has been, you know, interesting. And now we're hitting a stretch of games where, you know, we have guys in the Gold Cup. We have to deal with international duty. We have to deal with guys who are out for whatever reason. And being able to adapt with that and just pick up where, like, as if nothing has really changed has been really cool to be a part of.
Nashville SC left back Taylor Washington with us on the Nashville Soccer Show. Taylor, you've seen these attackers. You've seen this front three that's been on fire recently, a lot more in training, obviously, than we have. And I imagine you guys have kind of known the potential that these guys would have once they started clicking and would be on the field, you know, all of them healthy and fit at the same time. Mm-hmm. But we've seen flashes of Ake Loba. Haven't seen him run out there in the starting 11 quite yet. I imagine that day is coming soon. Give us the scouting report from the training field and from practice about what this guy could do.
So Ake, I remember the first time I met him, I was astounded by his humility. Record transfer fee, comes in so humble, smiling all the time. And then you see him step on the field and he does things with his feet that he's just so quick. We were doing 1v1s with Guppy, and he had this. I don't even know how to describe what he did, but we had to basically defend him starting at the start of the corner of the 18. And he did this soul roll drag to a double step over. And by the time he got his shot off, I think I was still in position of when he did the soul roll. Like his technical ability matched with his athleticism, I think, is something that's going to be scary for this league. But like I talked about it earlier, you combine it with our front three already. Like, I played with CJ in Philly, and in training we could never get this guy off the ball. And he's done so exemplary this year of showing what he's all about. And Hani clicking and Randall, man. Randall is just, in training, the things he does as well, it's like that goal against Cincinnati is like, it's just so normal. You know, they come out and do these things that are just like, yeah, that's normal for us now to watch and witness. And it inspires us and raises our level as well.
Taylor, tipped off some listeners that you'd be on. One of our faithful ones had a little question. I'll slide in here. What is your favorite Warzone loadout? That's what the people on the streets want to know.
That's a great question. right now, I'm running the car.
Smart.
Yeah, I'm trying to snipe a little bit more. I play Warzone with two of my buddies. One's a former player, Bradley Bourgeois, and then the other one is at Austin FC, John Gallagher. And you know, we have a nice little squad. We got a little VPN running. We're playing in South Africa most afternoons, sometimes Singapore, depending on the time of day or whether there's some cracked out kids and Lord knows where. But I'll tell you this, man, that game is, does my head in. As much as I love it and play it, dude, oh my god.
You and me both.
Oh, dude, I get off, my girlfriend's just like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm really not.
No, I'm not.
Pushing, Jim is way far behind. He's 200 meters away, and he's asking by a UAV. I'm like, dude, we're pushing people right now, bro. You know, like, come on, dude. We're starting the counterattack. Get me going.
Have you gotten Hani Mukhtar into Warzone yet? Like, who's the Hani second playing. Biggest? Yeah?
Yeah, Hani and Abu play, and I always be like, hey, man, like, you guys want to play with us? He's like, no, man, I'm not good enough to play with you. I'm like, bro, you can play with me. It's not like I'm some spectacular Warzone player. I'm just a crackhead that plays it for too many hours a day.
But look, speaking of Hani Mukhtar, I know you talk about this at some point being routine about him and CJ and Leal and the combinations and everything you've seen with those guys. But, you know, we haven't seen it consistently on the field for Nashville SC until this last month or so. Is there a moment, maybe a particular game, where you feel like, just thinking about those three, the guys that assisted or scored all three goals against Cincinnati Saturday?
Yeah.
Is there a moment or game where it really clicked for those guys, where after the final whistle, you know, everybody's kind of saying, okay, there it is?
I honestly couldn't, because of the way that they train, the level of professionalism that they bring. You know, I mean, I wish you guys could see training. You know, it's not nothing new for us. You know, I think for you guys to be able to recognize and see the things that we see, you know, it's like, I think, I don't even know how to describe it, man. You know, like as being on the scout team, right? Like, I have to deal with Randall and I have to deal with Hani and CJ, and man, it's a nuisance. It's a nuisance, and it makes each and every one of us better. But you know, it's the things that they do in training is just, I'm so glad that it's, everyone else is recognizing it even more than I think than they were.
Taylor, last thing on the way out, and this has been terrific, really good stuff all around with you here. We really appreciate the time. We talk a lot about the expectations for this team, coming off of last season, perhaps having the best expansion season this league has ever seen. Internally with you guys, what is the expectation for this group at the end of this season to look back and say, this would be a success, this would be a failure for this group? What are you guys aiming for when this thing is all said and done in 2021?
MLS Cup. Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of fact. I mean, we talk about it in the locker room. You know, Mike came in today and said, you know, we've hit that point of 15 games. You know, we have more goals than we did last year at, I think, at this time. He gave a lot of stats that were also so great. And he followed that with, you can't get complacent now. You know, this is great to be at this point now, but it matters at the end of the year. And I think we all have that mentality. And I think we all have a mentality of, everyone looks at us and respects us now, especially after last year, but I still don't think that they see us as the guys who can be beating Seattle or beating Columbus in the Eastern Conference Final. And I think that drives a lot of us. It drives, you know, so many of us that we have this little chip on our shoulder that, you know, and each and every day we believe that we can do it. So now it's time for us to show everybody else.
Taylor Washington has been our guest here on the Nashville Soccer Show. Taylor, this has been awesome. I feel like we could do an entire hour show with you as a co-host. So hey, let's pencil that in for the offseason. We're going to come in. We're going to talk Warzone, U.S. soccer, you name it. Let's make this happen, all right?
Oh, yeah, man. It was so great. Thanks for having me on, guys. And I'm a big fan of you guys. I know I watch a lot of sports psychology, and they say don't read the media, but I read a lot of what you guys say, and I'm a big fan of you guys. And
we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, Shep, big fan of you as well, man.
Appreciate you.
Big fan of Shep. Wow. And
Davey, the nickname there, by the
Davey,
way.
Davey, how much that. You pay him to say
Yeah, no, seriously.
Good stuff. Hey, can we get a drop of him saying he listens to us a lot? Is that allowed? Really good stuff. I mean, I don't even know where to start.
Nicest guy in the world, man.
Obviously, if you're watching on Zone TV, we talked to him earlier on today, as you see us just scurrying around trying to get the stream up here. Really good stuff. I don't even know where to start. I like the line about Ake Loba's humility and the way that guy is by far the most talented player in that dressing room. And he's one of the most humble guys in that dressing room. Really cool to hear that. But guys, MLS Cup.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
MLS Cup.
That's what it is for me.
I'm telling you, Taylor's in the chat right now, says 2,400 COD points, please, Chef. I love it. No, MLS Cup. Look, like I feel like people in this market who don't know soccer and don't know MLS think, oh, another expansion team. It's going to be like the Predators. You know, they're just going to have to take some time and adjust. Like, no, this team should have high expectations, and it does. I was happy to hear that from him because I said, look, I've said every time we've been on this show, this team should have higher expectations than what externally is being put on them. And I'm glad to hear that internally they agree with me. Not just because it's my opinion, but because I think it's the right one.
And we've talked about hosting a playoff game, right? And
they're talking
about the MLS Cup. It was kind of refreshing to hear him say that because, you know, you never know what you're going to get with those answers where it's just game by game, whatever it might be. But no, he came straight up MLS Cup. And the way how quickly he said it, how upfront, that tells you that that is a conversation happening in that locker room.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, you got to love it, man. I mean, I think we have pretty high expectations, and to see them bringing it, it's even better. So we want to see it all the way. And look, that dude has positioned himself well with this team. Comes in, USL fan favorite, fastest guy in the field, works hard, playing and crawl, you know, did everything.
Can't
there.
Teach pace.
You absolutely cannot. That's a stone cold fact, and that dude has it. Yep. Comes up, he's like he said, playing behind a dude who's got U.S. men's national team caps. I mean, statistically speaking, the last 2 years, one of the best left backs in the league. You know, he's not going to get a ton of minutes there. But then he shows up, two starts back-to-back, and just smashes him out of the park. You got to love it. Got to be happy for that guy.
A great defend-the-lead type of player as well, with his ability to track back. Yeah. And then on the flip side of that, a great kind of game-chasing player to put in that role as well, with his pace down and the ability to track back.
I said that in the interview, if you missed it. And this is all going to be podcasted as well. Nashville Soccer Show and Speedway Soccer, wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Look, this is a guy that you can put in, and I said this about CJ earlier on in the show too. You can put this guy in chasing a goal or defending a goal. That's what Nashville SC has on its bench. A bunch of guys that are going to put in a shift and be, in hockey terms, two-way forwards. You got a lot of two-way forwards. You got a lot of grinders who are just going to go out and get results, and the results are speaking for themselves with this team right now. with where this team is after the weekend. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of U.S. soccer. V-Love on the Twitter chat says Davey with the fire polo. We're going to talk about the team that wears that polo as a uniform. That's what, 2010?
Not anymore.
2014, this one.
Yeah, that's Brazil World Cup.
That's right.
That's a good look.
I got kind of bored watching this team, and I'm going to apologize to Giassi Zardes next on 104.5 The Zone. Song was really big when I was in middle school. I'm going to date myself a little bit here.
Good God, dude. I was a junior in college.
Davey's like, really? I have a baby.
I wasn't even trying to do that to you. I'm glad it happened, but I think that's the hardest I've ever made Davey laugh.
2009.
You're in middle 2009. School? I was a father. Or I am a father.
2009, fall 2009, that song was out. Lane Kiffin was the head coach at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I was in my seventh grade fall.
There you go. I was junior at Old
Valley. I mean, Force shameless Christian, plug. Man. I've got to do it. It's my birthday tomorrow.
Let's go.
So, like, but my age is a little bit relevant. I feel Let's like go. Buck.
You do.
Talking about his birthday. No. I actually said that to someone. I think I said that to Paul Mason, our boss today, and said, like, no, I'm not going to come in with a crown tomorrow at training camp. I will be hanging out with Buck, though, tomorrow at training camp.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes. Have fun. Have fun. It'll be sweltering hot.
Oh, that's really funny. 2009. Because I remember hearing that song. This is totally off track. I remember hearing that song in Oxford, Mississippi, as Houston Nutt ran Tennessee off the field. Dexter McCluster had 300 yards all purpose.
Future Titan, Dexter
game.
McCluster.
Yes. Ben Wright says he was a freshman in high school.
Okay.
Ben and I were years away from working together at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yes. Ben, who has three children.
Do you know that?
Three children. I didn't know that.
Ben and I worked together at Dick's Sporting Goods and barely knew each other. We just knew each other as the other soccer guys.
Stuck around for the U.S. men's national team talk, and they're getting the origin story for
this
national soccer.
This is good content.
Yeah.
People love us.
I'm glad Ben is here so he can tell us how wrong our opinions are for what, at least what Will is about to say.
Look, I love that in the break we're like, oh, we're going to have a long segment to talk about U.S., and I'm over here talking about Ben and I working at Dick's Sporting Goods. Anyway, I digress. Look, the U.S. and Jamaica, I didn't enjoy watching that game. I haven't really, yes, it's U.S. in a competitive match, in a competitive tournament. No, it's not an A-team, but, I enjoy still watching U.S. I haven't enjoyed watching this U.S. team. It's just not an entertaining product right now.
Well, listen, here's the big thing is I think there's just very limited options on the wing for this team.
Yeah.
And so
Paul Arriola was okay.
He was okay, but he was hurt there at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so they're going so narrow. Right. And then when they are wide, it's not like there's a ton of skill out there anyway. So I know where you're going with the Zardes thing, and I'll kick it off. DK was bad.
He was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we've pumped him. We've pumped him. So we got to own
it. Daryl DK fan show.
Yeah, we are. he was bad. I think Busio was pretty bad, comparatively speaking, to some of his other performances.
And he's been good.
He's been really good.
He's been really good.
Yeah.
Set the bar high.
He did, right. So, I think it was on that same Twitter spaces this morning. Dude from Orlando's on there, and they used the term, relative disappointment for Daryl DK right now. And it's like, yeah, that's right. It's a relative disappointment because he has set the bar so incredibly high for himself at 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that being said, it's got to be better than that. You got to be better with your back to goal, holding the ball up, things that I think he's good at. Not even just getting on the score sheet. He didn't affect the game at all.
It's like a good center in basketball. Even if a point guard isn't getting you the ball, make him get you the ball. Make the midfield connect with you. Come shorter than you need to pick up the ball. Now, that could be a Greg Berhalter thing, for all we know. Could be a tactical decision for them saying, look, we don't want you to come this deep, so if it isn't working, you just try to continue being on an island, I guess. I don't want to make it all a Daryl DK problem.
Technically, I don't think he's doing any of the wrong things. I agree with you. You'd want to see him have a more authoritative presence.
He had 14 touches in the first half.
Yeah, I want to see him communicating a little bit. I want to feel his presence a little more. But as far as the entertainment aspect of it and not enjoying watching the team, I think that's kind of by design with this tournament. Greg Berhalter took this team into this tournament to learn about this group of players. If that was the case, Jack Moore wouldn't be starting it right back.
I enjoy watching this team. It was that game, really, is probably the better statement by me.
I'll say this.
I've enjoyed the tournament.
If you get this team to win this tournament, over that Canada team, even with the injuries, or that Mexico team, that's a huge accomplishment.
Absolutely, it is.
And I think, I mean, they will beat Qatar and get to the final.
We'll see, Canada, man. Qatar's a pesky group.
They've played pretty good. You got to give them credit.
They're a pesky group, kind of like Jamaica.
Why are they here? I'm sorry.
Weren't they supposed to be in the Copa, and then they couldn't play in the Copa, so we gave them the last minute invite?
They were supposed to be in the Copa America, and with COVID and political issues and everything, that got whittled down to 10 only South American teams. Qatar gets invited to the Gold Cup. This isn't anything new, guys. Like, the Gold Cup has invited Brazil before. The U.S. has played in Copa America. And I will say this for Qatar, as a host country, you don't get that luxury of World Cup qualifying and all the games that go into hosting a World Cup. A lot of times you have to go in kind of cold. I think it's really rare to see a host country win a World Cup, partly due to that reason. So I don't fault them for just trying to grab whatever tournaments that they can play in ahead of 2022. But they're a pesky group, man. They can hit you on the counter. They have a couple really quality individual players that will get you on the break. And the U.S. have to be disciplined in this semifinal. But I agree with you, Davey. If Greg Berhalter can pull this thing off, it'll be a very impressive accomplishment, because this group is here for him to learn about this group, not to kind of entertain us or show us how good these guys are to showcase our talent. I think this group, they want to win, but this group is for Greg Berhalter and his staff and the knowledge that they can come away from this tournament with in preparation for qualifying and Qatar 2022.
Let's not slight Jamaica either. That was a really good Jamaica side.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Played really, really well.
Always are in this
decent amount of MLS players in that side, so let's not act like they were some walkover. I think it should have been more decisive than it was. That being said, good Jamaica team. Wes and Chris both point out Qatar Airways as the sponsor, so that makes a ton of sense, obviously. Good shout, you two.
Sepp Blatter would be proud.
Yeah, he sure would be. Shaq Moore, I think, has been good, by the way.
Yes. Really good.
I think he's been really good.
Look, do you think it's funny that when that squad came out,
like 2 weeks ago or a month ago,
the one guy that I was like, I literally looked at this squad and I said, who's Shaq Moore?
Yeah, who is it?
I had never heard of the guy from Adam.
He's been good.
Credit
and he scored a goal.
Yeah,
surprise of the tournament's probably Sands, right?
Sands, yeah, Vines. Just how good Sands has been.
I mean, Sands looks like, I think he went from like a borderline in the team player to like near the 11.
And they're asking him to do a lot of different things,
and
too.
He's doing it.
The way he's shifted across that back line and even stepping up into kind of a pivot role as a six, has been really impressive. But we have to talk about Matthew Hoppe from that game against Jamaica.
Do.
Obviously scores the winner, 1-0. He hasn't been otherworldly in this tournament.
That kind of has the it factor.
He's got this edge, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
This kind of willingness to take people on. And he's playing out of position. Like, let's not forget, he's not really a winger with Schalke.
Right.
He's a center forward. And I wonder if he'll ever get a crack at that spot with the U.S. men's national team. But he plays with an edge that I think this team's maybe been missing for a while, that maybe, you know, that we haven't really seen from a guy like Daryl DK in this tournament. So I want more of Matthew Hoppe.
Looping back to NSC for 1 second before we get out the door here, guys. Upcoming road trip, Toronto, New England, Miami. How many points do we need out of 9 there?
I'm predicting six.
Got to have 6.
Anything more than 6, I think is a success.
Agreed. I think 6 is a success.
Yeah.
I could be totally fine with a loss at New England.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I want to see from this team is improve on your New England result, whatever that is.
Didn't we beat them 2-0?
Yes.
Right. No, I mean this upcoming New England result.
Oh, okay.
Like, as a part of this road trip. Like, if New England beats you, don't let them beat you twice.
There you go, yeah.
If you draw them, go beat Miami. And if you beat New England, then go show us again that you can do it once again.
I like that. Speaking of the road trip, you know where we'll be for that road
trip. Oh, yes.
Fat Bottom Brewery.
The Pitch Invasion lagers will be flowing.
They will be flowing. They're flowing at Kroger's right now.
Yes,
they are.
And
that's where you need to go get them. That's where I get them at Kroger. Grab the sixer of the tall boys. Perfect for the house. It's the hot weather right now. You need that extra couple of ounces when you're out there all day long. Grab your Fat Bottom Pitch Invasion lagers. Listen, we're going to be there for all 3 of those away games. Some really, really good giveaways going on. We're going to be giving away tickets to DC United at home and Orlando City at home. And then there's a little sneak surprise one. We're not going to announce that one yet, but there will be a pair of tickets better than either of those games offered at one point in time at the Miami game. So, listen, it's going to be a lot of fun, those watch parties. We've had 20 or 30 people out there every time we go out there. So, listen, if you're not heading to one of the other watch parties already with an SG or whatever it might be, come hang with us. We'll be kicking it food's good, beer's good there, great place to watch a game. They just took our advice and said, hey, we got so many soccer people coming in, we got to get bigger TVs upstairs, bigger TVs upstairs. So they're taking care of the soccer crowd. Wow. I mean, it's going to be a perfect hang.
I hadn't been there since the Euro final, so some good juju in that place.
Their fish and chips that I had, and I had the fish and chips to try to root on England. Sad.
Yeah, it didn't work out for you.
Really, really good.
I got spaghetti to root on it. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know why I believed you. I've been there. All right, that's it. Toronto at the weekend. I'm taking a 2-0 Nashville win at the weekend. Ake Loba is going to start one of the next three games, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see.
3 games in 8 days, I think so.
Absolutely. We will be starting another show next Tuesday night. Nashville Soccer Show. Check out the podcast if you missed it. Special thanks to Taylor Washington. Great discussion. Don't miss it on the podcast side. We'll talk to you next week on 104.5 The Zone.